Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the Dot Daddy Podcast. Today is November 20th, 2024, and I am here with Corporate Keith, a.k.a. Keith Myers is his real name, the man behind Scout Micro USA. I'm really happy to have him on. I know that most people watching and listening to this know who Matt Aiello is. He's the face of the franchise over there, but I know that Keith is an integral part of their massive success at Scout Micro USA, so I'm really happy to have you on, Keith.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So we were talking offline a little bit about what's going on with Scout Micro USA and Follicule. And we want to give out, we're going to do a discount for people. You want to give out a discount?
Yeah, let's do it. We're doing a 15% off discount. Just use code DOTDADDY and you get out everything, whole site wide, whatever you want.
That's a good fucking deal.
It's a good deal.
That's DOTDATTIE for the people listening. So 15% off getting all the products from Scout Micro USA. So go check them out. Highly recommend Follicule Brown and Black.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Keith, I know that, Matt gets a lot of the attention, but I want to know.
Which before he hates, by the way.
I don't think he hates. Does he hate it?
No, not at all.
So, but first, before we get into it, where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so grew up in North Massapequa in Long Island. So I'm a Long Island, New York boy, born and raised. And now I live kind of in the middle of Long Island, right smack in the middle. So ended up growing up here and staying here.
And so about how far from where you grew up do you live now?
About 30 minutes. And I'm about 40, 45 minute train into Manhattan, which is where our office is.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you go into the office on a weekly basis or do you do a lot of the stuff from home?
Yeah. Right now I'm 2-3 days in the office and then the rest, I'm at home. So it's a good balance. I love being in the office. You know, it's good to see people. It's good to feed off the energy. It's good to meet, a lot of the clients and, it's also just good from a business standpoint. Matt and I will have a bunch of meetings. We'll meet with the team out there. I'll, able to kind of chop it up with some of the guys. And then, believe it or not, a lot of times when I'm in the office, I don't have filming, on my calendar or anything like that. But I'll just try to, introduce myself to clients and just kind of chat it up while they're buzzing their head. And believe it or not, that's how a lot of our testimonials have come about. Because we'll just be chatting. They'll be like, you shoot the content. I love the videos. That's why I'm here. I love when people share their stories. I'd love to do that. And I'm like, well,
here's your opportunity. That's great because sometimes I have a form that says, show my face, pick A, show my face, B, don't show my face, blur my face. And I used to do a little guilt trip and say option C, I don't want to help anybody else, so don't show my picture at all.
Yeah.
And just to avoid it. But that's smart to ask them while they're doing it because they're probably more likely to say yes, right?
Yeah, listen, it's a numbers game. But yeah, you just get people that are excited. And I think, you get guys that are nervous and, you'll say hello and they'll just kind of, hi, and then I know. Okay. It's definitely not going to be that guy, you'll have a bunch of people that will kind of just start up a conversation. And really once I get that, I watch all of your videos, that's kind of my intro to pop in and see. It's also good too, because then even if they don't do a testimonial or anything, I'll be in the room and I'll shoot some content. And because they already know who I am, their guard is down. So it just becomes a lot easier of a process for me to kind of get in there and then not be so awkward when I'm, just randomly filming someone that doesn't know me.
Oh, that makes complete sense. They're a fan of Scout Micro USA. You're Scout Micro USA. And they're like, fuck yeah. When I came there for the Meeting of the Minds party, I had never been inside and I was like, oh yeah. Shit, this place, it's a lot bigger than I expected. If I'm being completely honest, because New York, everything is, it's smaller, right? Because everything's in a big building, the rooms are smaller, but it was a lot bigger than I expected, to be completely honest.
Well, that's where we are now. But if you would have seen the office that Matt and I started in, it couldn't have been more than 500 square feet, tiny wow. room, single studio. And then we moved in that same building probably 2 years later and moved to not much bigger, maybe 600, 700 square feet. super tight. And so when it became time that we decided, okay, we needed a bigger space, we said, you know, let's get more square footage than we maybe need, because we had, you know, ideas of hosting big trainings and events. And also we knew that we would potentially be able to rent out rooms to different artists and different PMU artists. So that was kind of our vision for it. And it is a big space. I love the space. We'll be there for the next 5 years. It's a lot of fun. It's nice to have, you know, it's also nice for me, you know, Tara, our office manager admin, who's been with us forever. She remembers the days where her and I would be working together on like a 2 foot desk. And just now
it like this.
Yeah. Just literally like facing each other. So now it's not, you know, the back room is normally empty, so I'm able to work back there, and, you know, we can have meetings, and it's definitely helped the business. There's been a lot of ideas that have come out of those rooms. So it's been
how many total, like, I guess employees just at the New York location do you guys have? I know there's you, there's Max, there's Tara.
Yep.
Matt. So that's four at minimum, right?
Yeah, we have five in New York. We did have six, but Mikey moved him and his whole family to Boca Raton. So Mike was with us for, I think, like 5 or 6 years, and he moved. So he's at that studio out there. But I think it's about four or five in New York right now. And then we have 12 employees total at the company.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And I saw the video Max posted surprising him down in Boca Raton. That was great. He was really caught off guard too.
So great. It was so funny. He was like texting us the live updates, and Mike was like, before he even knew that he was there, he was recording Mike going into the office, and he was like walking and like talking to himself, and he's like, look at Mike talking to himself over here. It was just so funny to get the behind the scenes of everything. And then when he surprised him, it was great. You know, it's funny because that New York office has a lot of energy, like, and if that feeds like off of a lot of different things. So like, for example, you know, when clients come in and they see two or three guys in the chair, it's takes a lot of the guards down for people. And so it is really nice for us to have that. So Mike went from this, you know, kind of big energy, a lot of employee environment to just by himself. So I think that he really
in a new place, in a new environment.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, was that something that you guys had been thinking about for a while and you knew Mike wanted to move? Or was that like Mike's like, dude, I don't want to be in New York anymore. It's crowded, blah, blah, blah. It's cold. Like, how did that come about?
It was completely him. Yeah. He was in Jersey, and, you know, to be fair to him, he had a really long commute. It was like an over 2 hour commute. And I think he just wanted a different change, and it made sense for them. And, you know, obviously Mike's such a great guy and such a good artist, and we, you know, didn't want to lose him. So it was kind of like, as long as he wasn't going to, you know, some town with 40 people, we were going to, you know, try to support him. And it, you know, Florida is a great market, different market for sure, but it's a good market.
I've heard some horror stories, but it seems like he's doing well, and you guys are already established. So I imagine you're still doing all the marketing and all that stuff for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So he kind of just plugs right into, you know, what we do on the marketing side. And then we just, you know, activate it for Florida. And the good thing about Mike is, you know, he has such a portfolio, a vast portfolio of work. So, you know, promoting him out there is definitely a little less like friction when we're trying to, you know, promote him, because he has such great work. And
he's not a new artist. He's just well established. Yeah. People know who he is. You look him up. He shows up. A lot of his work will actually show up pretty high on Google as well, too. If you just Google S&P, because he's been doing it for a while.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't realize he was also in Jersey. I know Max's situation too, which I think is pretty awesome. You guys accommodate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool how you guys have that all set up, and I am really happy. I love to see that your company continues to grow. So did that add a seventh location, or is that a sixth?
So we have five locations right now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so we're
including the Florida one?
Florida is five.
Yep. Okay, okay.
So we have New York, Houston, LA, South Florida, and Chicago. So those are the five that we have right now.
You have Chicago? You do have Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we right now, Brad, who's our guy in LA.
Texas. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Brad. Wait, Brad. Brad's the jacked one?
That's Derek.
Oh, yeah, Derek. I'm sorry.
He's going to love that you just described him that way. But it's fair. He's in good shape, man.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Gold's Gym in a minute, but we would always go to Gold's Gym whenever I would go to visit, because that's like the Mecca. That's the original.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. But he's the mayor there. I think he signed up like every single bald guy in Gold's Gym.
That's great. And I got to work out there one time in 2013, and I loved it. I really enjoyed it just because of the history of it. But yeah, sorry, Derek. I meant Derek. Brett, I know who Brett is. Like, I pictured his face, but then I just got confused. I pictured it.
So he's bouncing back and forth between LA and Chicago right now. Chicago's just a really great market. And so temporarily, you know, he's helping those clients out and he's having a good time out there too. So.
Okay. Okay. That's how that's going. All right. And then your Texas location?
That's Greg Lorsella runs okay. that clinic. Greg, believe it or not, and I know, you know, we'll go on to kind of how Matt and I know each other, but me, Matt, and Greg are all high school buddies.
Matt, and Greg. And Greg is at the
Houston location.
Houston. Okay.
Yeah. So Greg has been in the industry almost as long as Matt. I think like only a few months less than Matt. Wow. So he was one of the originals. He, you know, knows kind of all the OGs, you know, John, and worked with them at his. And he, you know, we just had New York, and I was working a full-time job while also, you know, helping to grow Scalp. And when I left my full-time job to do Scalp, you know, fully, one of the goals, man, I wanted was I really wanted to scale into multiple locations. And Greg had been working at another company at the time, and they were kind of slowing down. And we said, like, it just makes sense for you to, you know, be on board with us. We all obviously get along great. We have a great relationship, and he's a really good artist. So he was the first expansion that we had to Scout Micro. He went out to Houston, and he's had a lot of success there. It's kind of like our rock. Like, we really trust him. He does amazing work, and we've just been there for a really long time. So we have, you know, a really good foothold on that market.
That's great. Now, have you been to all the locations?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't. Well, sorry. I haven't been to the Florida one just yet.
Okay. The newest one.
Yes. I'm planning a trip probably in like February to get
up. Okay. Nice. Are you going to take the family too?
I am. Yeah, I am. Yeah. So we're going to do you know, probably 2 days in office and then have the fam and probably try to meet up with Mikey's fam and get the kids together.
Oh, that's great. You know, I love that.
You can parlay that, you know, together.
I love that.
Big news for the SMP world. Follicule has just dropped their new scalp pigment. It's bigger, better, and made with Hanafi Color Pigments, one of the largest pigment manufacturers in the world. Not only is this pigment backed by world-class expertise, but they are giving you more of what you need. That's right. Their new, bigger bottles mean you have enough pigment to do 20 to 25 sessions in just one bottle. And because you're part of the Dot Daddy podcast community, we're offering you an exclusive deal. 15% off all pigments and aftercare products when you use the code DOTDADDY at checkout. Take your SMP game to the next level with Follicule Pigments. Go to the Follicule website. Get it now.
So how many kids you got?
I have one. So I got a little guy. He's about 2.5 now.
2.5. Now, how's that life being a dad and, you know, traveling and being, you know, working in the city, I feel is a little bit different than, you know, around here in the suburbs. I'd say it's a little bit more different. I feel like the commuting and everything really eats up a lot of the day.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the city days are long days. Like, you know, best case scenario, I'm usually getting home at like 7:00. So, you know, those days are tough, but I kind of balance it from when I am home. So, you know, I'm able to, you know, pick them up like at 5 and kind of gain those hours back. But yeah, dad life is great. It is just the best part of your day always. And he's at a fun age right now where he's just such a, you know, a loving kid, and, you know, you'll come through the door and he'll just sprint and give you like a big massive hug. And you're just like, yeah, it doesn't get any better than this.
Nothing. It really does. I completely agree. How's your, what's your son's name?
Leo.
Does he eat food? Like my son, he goes on these hunger strikes basically.
It's so funny. He used to be like a really great eater. And now he's starting to get pretty picky. He had like chicken quesadilla 5 days in a row because he refused to eat anything else.
Well, that's good. I mean, I wish my son would eat a chicken quesadilla because Halloween just happened. And, you know, we let him eat some candy, but then now he wants to replace all his meals with candy. You know, instead of breakfast, you know, he's not going to eat the eggs. Now we got French toast sticks. He wants candy. He doesn't even want French toast sticks. He wants candy. And we had to take it away, basically.
Yeah, it's so funny how like one slight decision can just ripple effect into something so catastrophic. Like we one day, like, I don't know, Sherry and I, my wife, we were just hungry and we wanted like chips, and the Seamless was on its way. So we just took out a bag of chips, and you know, he wanted some, so we gave him a few, and then like for a week all he wanted was chips.
My son does the same thing. So it's like you do one thing. Yeah. I let him not sleep in his room, right? We decided to sleep in the basement. Now he thinks he can sleep in the basement every night. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. It's I love it though. I love it. It seems like you're doing, I watch your videos. It looks great. It looks like you guys are having fun.
You got to have fun with it, man, because you know, he's only 2 and a half, but everything happens so fast. Like those moments, they just go by so quickly. And so you got to try to enjoy it. You know, it is tough at times for sure. I mean, anybody that says it's super easy is maybe in just a better situation than I am, but
they're lying.
They're lying. I mean, it's tough, you know, especially, you know, working and, you know, being an entrepreneur, or, you know, owning your own company, it has its perks, but then, you know, also it's like, you're on a lot. You know, yesterday I had to, you know, respond to a bunch of stuff at like 7 o'clock at night, and you know, you just kind of gotta roll with the punches, and sometimes it's, you know, it's a lot, and you just gotta, you know, take a deep breath and kind of roll with it. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've finally found a balance of like, okay, I'm working really hard, but I'm also like very focused when I am with him and with the family. So I've been trying to do more of like, take my phone and just put it in a drawer and don't go and look at it, because, you know, I only have an hour and a half until he goes to bed. So let me just focus on that. Anything that's coming my way can wait. And then, you know, once he's down, if I want to take a peek at the phone and see what's going on. But that's been really helpful for me to be very like present.
I agree. And I highly recommend that to anybody out there with kids. You know, do what Keith just said, put your phone down, especially because we also have a bedtime, and I try to get home by 5:30 most of the time. I don't get home till like 5:45, 6 o'clock. And so I got maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours if I let him stay up till 8. And I want to spend that time with him. But like you were saying, I also, in the back of my mind, it's hard for me to separate work, because I know I still gotta respond to these people. I gotta text them. I gotta email. I gotta call. I gotta check stuff, or I'm thinking about the next day or who I'm working on, that kind of thing. And it gets I don't want to take away. I don't want my attention to be focused on something else, especially not the phone when I'm with them. And sometimes it's hard though. Sometimes
it is. Really is. Yeah, it's so much easier said than done. Like, I mean, it's, you know, you have to set the boundaries, but life happens, you know what I mean? Like you go into your phone, all of a sudden you see like an email or a message, and now, you know, that's where you're going towards. I think it's just one of those things where it's, you're never going to be perfect. You know, you're going to have, that's one thing I've been really working on, is like, you're going to have days where you just kind of feel like you suck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, this is not my best. But then just balancing it with days that are awesome. And then it's kind of like you forgive yourself a little bit for, you know, putting your time and focus into one thing or another.
Agreed. And I also, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I try to justify it thinking, hey, the more, you know, theoretically, the more I make, the more like stuff we can do in the future, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or at least guaranteed to still live our current lifestyle, which is beneficial.
Yes. Yeah. The hard work component is very important. And, you know, we're young and ambitious, and that, like, you know, that can't, for me at least, can't go beneath the wayside. Like, I still need to push and work hard, but, you know, at the same time, it's good to definitely be present when you can. You know?
Let me ask you this, because I have a big fear about I have a fear of I want to give my kids everything I didn't have, but I also have this fear of over spoiling him and basically creating a spoiled brat who doesn't want to work. I mean, we all know, I'm sure you know people like this, adults, grown adults who were spoiled and now they don't want to do shit. I just don't want that to happen. And I don't know the right way to train, raise my kid. But my idea is to just have him do chores, help me, constantly help me do stuff. And, not try to do it overboard. What do you think?
Yes, I actually think about that often because I think part of like working hard and doing all of this is to put yourself in a better situation than you had growing up. Like that is like a big thing for me. Like I want to be able to provide more than what I had and just keep like moving the family, you know, just forward, like kind of like moving the last name forward is like a big thing for me that like I focus on. And not that I didn't have anything growing up, but it's just, that's like a big component of.
You want to keep leveling up. You want the hires to go higher and higher.
Exactly. So, you know, it is something that I think you have to like instill some of the chores, the dynamics, like, you know, cleaning up after yourself. Also, one thing that I like doing is like when we go out to like pizza places, like thanking, you know, the guy who cut up the pizza, like little stuff like that, that I feel like goes a long way. And I already told my wife, like, he's working. Like, I don't care if he doesn't need to. Like in high school, I had a job. In college, I had a job. Like, you know, we'll work at a pizzeria, go work at a deli. You know, I worked at a chicken and rib place. I was popping thighs by the thousands when I was a kid, like ridiculous jobs that you do. But those jobs harden you a little bit. And I think that they do instill a lot of values. I also think it's good, you know, to work and meet people and do different things like that. So that was something that I really like want to instill when he gets older. But yeah, I mean, like, for example, I never left the country until I was like in my 20s, and we've already taken him to DR like every single year.
Oh,
you
shit.
Know, so it's just like, it's, you know, there's certainly things I'm like, I hope, you know, he doesn't think that this is happening every, you know, every year, but
I think that's a good point with, it makes them when they work a job, cause I'm also going to make my son work as well. And, you know, whether he's working at a food place or he's working at the gym or like a life, or something. But for him to, because obviously you could think in the back of your head, well, I could just hire him to do something for Scout Micro USA, or I can hire him to do something for me, you know, teach him certain things. But I don't want to be his boss. He needs to answer to somebody else.
Yes.
And it also makes them appreciate when they get a better job. You do a shitty job, then when you get a slightly better job, you're like, oh, this isn't as bad. You know, they appreciate that. Because if all you know is good, 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 you're not really going to, you're not going to value what you currently, the situation you're in.
Yeah, 100%.
So how did you and Matt meet?
Yeah, Matty boy. How did we become friends? How did we start this this little baby called Scout Micro USA? You know, Matt and I, we grew up in the same school system. So we were like in same like little league baseball, different teams and stuff like that. And we became friends, I believe, like around like ninth grade, probably. And we just kind of became, you know, good friends, had the same friend circle, hung out, became pretty close, and then, you know, would visit each other in college, and then became, you know, even, you know, better friends. And so we've been friends for a long time. And, you know, we went our different way in college, we went to different colleges. And when we graduated, you know, after a few years, he was working for one of like the first companies that do it, his hair clinic. So he had gotten the treatment done early on, I think in his early 20s, and then had started with this company. And we had talked about it, but honestly, not really. He kind of gate kept it a little bit. Like he didn't really talk too much about it. It's so funny to reference it now because like he is the face of the company and all he does is talk about Scout. But in the early days, we just didn't really talk about it too much, you know. And so I knew what he did, but I didn't really know. And at the same time, I went back to school at NYU for digital marketing. And so a little backstory, I was a farmer rep, basically out of school, knocking on doors, selling all different types of medications. And then I kind of got enough of it. And I said, okay, let me
you were doing residential doors or like companies? Like on the doctor's office?
Well, so my first job out of school was I was selling payroll, or what we used to call slinging payroll.
Like ADP?
Yeah, ADP. Yeah. So I did that. And that was knocking on doors like for hours. I mean,
that's a hard job.
It was the best thing that could have ever happened, because if you can do that, there's no job that is hard.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
And it gets awful too when you get in those situations.
I walked into a broker's room that was like just a company, and they just dead stared me. Like, I did my pitch and no one even said a word. And someone just came over and like closed the door slowly. And I was like, this is a low point in my career. Like, is this really what I went to school for? It was ridiculous. I mean,
that's great. Like, I wonder if they planned it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Just to fuck with you.
Yeah. They're just like, get out of here, kid. But I, you know, I met my wife at that company. So it was, that was
at
like
the payroll, at the selling the payroll stuff.
Yeah. 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 At the payroll. So I did that. I worked for a big pharmaceutical company and was doing
sales. Can
you
tell us the name or no?
They used to be Forest Labs and they got bought out by Teva, I believe.
Okay.
So they were like a pretty big company. They had some good drugs, I guess you'd say. I was like a drug dealer, but
yeah.
Legal.
Yeah, you really were. Let me ask you something real quick. So when you do that, when you sell, I know some drug reps and I see them all the time around here. Do you have to understand a lot of the chemistry that goes into that? Like, do they ask you detailed questions?
You have to know it to like pass. So there was like 4 or 5 days of studying that I had to do hardcore on just like the entire anatomy. And I really wasn't like a science anatomy guy growing up in school. Wasn't my strength. So that was tough. And then you have to know this much, but then when you pitch a doctor in a hallway, when they have 15 seconds between you and their 45th patient, it's like, what is the elevator pitch? What is the question that they're going to ask? How do you answer it? So life skills, it was really great to do that job, to learn that job. But I knew long-term, I didn't necessarily want to do it. I liked sales, but, I knew marketing kind of was like something I was interested in. So I went back to school at NYU, was lucky enough to have my first class was like an amazing class. And I stayed after every single class. I loved it. I was obsessed with it. And my professor at the time was like, listen, I know you're kind of on this track to take class and get your MBA. He's like, but I work for an e-commerce business. Come work for me. And like, wow. I'll teach you everything you need to know. And he became my mentor, and he's a great guy, and kind of kicked off my career, which I'm really grateful for. Circling back to Matt. So as I was doing that, I was, you know, doing all website development, SEO, pay-per-click. We're doing kind of the whole lot of services. Matt decided to go on his own. And we were just chatting on a rooftop one day, and he was kind of like, yeah, I think I want to go on my own, and I want to bring on a partner. And it really wasn't like something that it just kind of happened organically, to be honest. I was like, oh, well, this is what I'm doing. Like, I could help you with this. And he was like, oh, that sounds great. And that's kind of like how it came about. And so I invested in the company, and we
like
just
the startup cost.
Yeah. And we just hit the ground running from there. And that was over 9 years ago.
Wow.
So,
wow.
What's up, SAP world? It's Chris with the Blends Protein. A lot of people are switching over to our products. The most realistic results are being put out using Blends products. These products were made for artists by artists. We want to make you a believer. Here's 20% off your first purchase. Use
Dot Daddy
Podcast. Blends for the most natural results in the world.
It's pretty crazy to look back. And then I worked a full-time job in marketing and sales for a social media AI company for 2 years while I was also doing Scalp. And it just, there was a moment I'll never forget where I was at a conference running a booth for this tech company, and there was no one there. And I just was having like no conversations. And at the same time, Matt and I had just got nominated for a Webby, which in like the marketing world is like a pretty awesome thing. Like it's a big standard. And so we did something with Vice and we got nominated and
the TV station.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh shit. Wow.
It was called the Yes Man. So basically this guy would go around, do things to his body as like the Yes Man. And he did scalp and we documented the whole thing. And it was really great. And to this day, it was like the best PR we've ever done.
We got to add that clip, Kira. Add that clip.
Yes. Yeah, I will. It was a long time ago, but I'll add it. It's still a great one. And so it's just this funny moment where I'm at this conference where I really don't want to be. And at the same time, we just got nominated for this big award in marketing. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I need to go into this. I need to, you know, just go all in and just see what we can make of it. And so I left that job and went on full time. And that was, I think, like 6-7 years ago.
Wow. Wow. So you did now when you cut ties with that company, was that the one that you were working with? The professor got you?
No, I had left that company 2 years prior. Okay. He had left. He was the CEO of that company and he left.
Okay.
So once he left, that was kind of like, it was a good marker for me to say, okay, I've learned a lot here, but maybe it's time to go and do something else. And
would you say that's how you really learned a lot of your skills, was working for that initial company? Like, was it a startup?
Yeah, it was like a marketing agency.
Okay.
So it was definitely a crash course in everything e-com website at the time. And
were you guys doing campaigns and all that sort of thing?
I wasn't running the campaigns. I was mostly doing like brand product launches.
Okay.
Which was great. I mean, that was early days in like people really killing it on e-commerce. So, but they had also an SEO company that worked there. They had a development company. So it was just like, you just got to touch every aspect of marketing. And so it was really just like an epic crash course, hard work, a lot of fun, met a lot of really cool people in that business. But I also felt like, you know, it was time to grow and do something else.
No, that makes sense. And so when you and Matt initially decided this and that you're going to do On the Rooftop and you're like, okay, we're going to go into this, did you just rent a location? Is that what you did? You set up a contract, started the marketing, got a website. How did you kind of do that?
Yeah. So it was just like basic stuff. I mean, we started with, let's just get a website up and running. And it was just Matt doing it. I mean, it was bootstrap. It was Matt answering calls, answering emails, like, you know, me doing a little bit of content and mostly just website stuff. So we would just be doing like mostly website optimization, SEO. So that was what we focused on in the early, early days. And then we started to get into the advertising side. So we started with Google Ads. And it's so funny because like kind of like the history of marketing is, you know, we started with website SEO and search organic. So once we decided, okay, we have a good stronghold on that, we're top of the page for most of the search terms, you know, granted, we're just in New York. Then we decided to get our feet with Google Ads. And at the time, there was almost no one doing it. Like, I mean, you know,
no one doing SMP or no one doing SMP paid ads.
Paid ads for okay. SMP. There okay. was still only, I mean, even in New York, there were only a handful of people doing this okay. treatment. So when we started doing ads, that just like lit a fire in our business.
Wow.
Because we were just, you know, not many people doing it. We had very low cost per clicks. And so we were able to really capitalize that pretty well. And then we slowly transitioned to YouTube, which was kind of like more of the educational. So Matt started to shoot a lot of educational content.
He was one of the first people I seen on YouTube, yeah. For sure. 2015, I think, is when I you know, saw some of his videos.
And that was a big part of, you know, longevity wise, that worked really well for us for a long time. But YouTube, certainly like that long form style content we started to do, but we were still just, I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, we were just trying, you know, because we had two problems. We had one, no one knows who we are as a company. And back then, no one knows what this is at all. Yeah. So we had to not only like grow the brand, but we also had to just create this this industry digitally. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
no one knew what they were talking
about. You're the first basically putting it out there on the internet and calling it. I think the name was actually genius as well. Scout Micro USA, especially for SEO, search engine optimization.
Matt's going to love that.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Because I think about Delaware S&P. I obviously did it for the SEO name. But like, if I want to change locate, if I want another location, I just will have to call it by the city, or I don't know. I can't really call Delaware S&P if I want to put a place in New York. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So you guys, he had to have had, we're going to have multiple locations in his head thinking of that.
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, and Matt chose the name and the logo, the Infinity, which is cool. And that's, it's cool to see like that still stand. That logo, like we still really like, but yeah, I mean, it was good for SEO, especially in the early days, to have that name. I think as we got bigger and as the industry got bigger, it got a little more challenging because Scout Micro USA, and then there were just so many Scout Micro X companies.
There's a lot of copycats.
Yeah.
There's a fucking lot. But
that became a whole other challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys have to get it trademarked or anything like that?
Yeah, we had to trademark basically everything that we could. As aggressively as humanly possible.
Buy the domains, domain.
And that's, believe it or not, when we created Follicule, we wanted to make it just a word that doesn't exist because we're like, I'm not doing this again. Like we're making a word that has never been created before. And that was part, not the whole reason, but that was part of, you know, certainly picking that name was okay. We know there's no one doing this and this isn't like the term of a treatment.
Were you guys the first new ink to hit the market? Because I believe you were, if you weren't, you were like first or second, you know, outside of what everybody else was using in the beginning.
We were early. I don't know whether we were first. You know, there were like a few companies, but we were early days for sure with pigment. There wasn't too much. I mean, people were using like tattoo ink.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, think about it. It's so funny because you go to these conferences now. And it's really awesome to see because, you know, there's money coming into the industry, which is great. It helps it grow because, you know, you need innovation, you need improvements, you need people pushing the envelope because it's just going to help the industry as a whole. So the better quality products that everyone, you know, is able to produce and use has a direct impact as to, you know, the results and the quality of the industry. And like Matt can talk more about, but like they were using machines that were ancient, you know, all the materials and stuff that you used, you know, 9 years ago, leaps and bounds to where we are now.
I know they didn't even have, I use wireless now, you know, and I just started using wireless 2 years ago. I hated the cord and these machines were also like $1,500.
They were very expensive. Yeah. And I can't even tell you how, Matt's going to hate me for this, but we had a lot of content that we shot where there wasn't a slip cord. And it was just,
like pretending to hold it. Like,
It was just like, we forgot to like cover the cord.
And the cord cover.
Yeah. So people would just like in the comments, like cover your cord. And we were just like, all right, taken down, forget it. So the moment we moved to wireless, I was like, you could have seen the smile on my face. I was like, oh, thank God. Because listen, sometimes people just start treatment and there's no slip cord. So cover. So it was just so nice to move away from that. So I knew, okay, whatever we shoot,
they're going to pick you apart. They're going to pick you apart. I mean, if you go on Reddit now, Jesus Christ, I was on Reddit before Reddit was cool. Like when it was just nerds on there. Like I've been on there since, you know, 2009, I would say consistently. And to see this, how it's evolved with S&P is fucking wild. I don't know if you've been on there lately, but it's.
Listen, Reddit's wild. And I always tell the artists and I tell the clients if we're doing a big testimonial, like, you know, they know that they've agreed to everything and we're going to pump it out. I just tell them steer clear of the TikTok comments for a little bit because it is vicious. I mean, it's just crazy because you get some people that like it and then some people that just trash. I mean, you have to have really thick skin.
It blows my mind that when someone who's bald or and always wears a hat, and I've talked about someone who always wears a hat and they're bald and they're talking shit on SMP. Like, if it really didn't bother you, why are you always wearing the hat? Why are you always wearing the hat?
Yeah, I didn't see like the like we Matt and I said, like, we didn't see the bald is like beautiful crowd like coming after us, but like there was a time where they did, like, it was just like, this is ridiculous. But I think that stigma has gone away quite a bit, because I think people now know that it's just an improvement, you know, the same way women wear makeup. Like, it's not anything drastic, it's subtle, but it's really effective. And so as the industry's grown, I think a lot of the stigmas around it have also kind of let up. You still have a lot of people that A, don't know this exists, and B, kind of like are quick to judge. I am happy to see that the industry is changing in a little bit more of like a positive way.
Agreed. But my only, I just wish, still, we're not mainstream yet. I still want it be, you know, synonymous with hair transplant. I want people you say hair transplant, everybody knows what it is. You say S&P, we want everybody to know what it is instead of having to explain it. But we're getting there. I think we're getting there.
Yeah. I would say when we first started, I always said like 9 out of 10 people have no idea this exists, but you still to this day have people that are like, I wish I knew this was out there. I wish I knew this was available to me. I would have done it 5 years ago. So we still have such a long way to go. But you know, we've done a lot of like brand awareness campaigns throughout the years, different things to try to just get a wide range of views to try to attract people to this. Sometimes some of it's worked, some of it hasn't, but ultimately our goal, you know, is to attract the people that, you know, don't know of this and are looking.
Yeah, and get warm leads. I've been recently testing out a Facebook marketplace, you know, putting it on there and saying I'm selling hairlines. Sometimes I get flagged and they'll take the shit down, but sometimes I get through, you know, it'll
That's
stay
creative.
Up for a couple
I like
days.
That. I like
yeah.
That.
And they even let you boost it on Marketplace.
Oh.
Yeah, they let me boost.
You're giving out the marketing tips. You don't even need me on.
No, I got a bunch more questions for you. I got a bunch more. I want to bring up ChatGPT. Do you use it?
Yeah, I use it. I'm still using it in like the early ways of use. Like I use it for captions. I use it for copy. I use it for our website. I use it for blogs. I use DALL-E. So
what's DALL-E?
It's like their image, AI image creator.
Okay.
Or DALL-E or DALL-E, whatever it's called. And so I had the presentation at Me the Minds, and I knew the concept and I knew what I wanted to talk about. And so I put in a prompt that basically was like, hey, I have a speaking event where I'm giving a presentation on X, Y, and Z. Here are the topics I want to cover. Here are the subtopics within it. Like, organize this presentation for me. So that really helped. Like, it walked me through kind of the flow of what the presentation would look like. And then I would go into DALL-E and then put in like show an image of someone struggling with hair loss that's on the computer looking for different options, and have it show Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. And then it would spit out different things. So it really helped me building presentations. I have used it a little bit more advanced than that. So my wife has a business. She was building a new website. And so I had her I created Google Doc, which would have like question and answer. So I would ask questions based off of the copy that and the information that I wanted to populate on the site. And then I would have her fill out the answer. And then I connected that via Zapier to ChatGPT. And I basically would prompt ChatGPT to take the answers and write website copy for it. That was like, that was pretty cool. And it worked really well. I think it got me like 80% of the way there.
Wow.
And then the next 20% was just kind of like, you know, tweaking it and making it, you know, her style and her brand. So I definitely think that next year is going to be, I'm going to have a lot more use cases for it. But right now I'm just kind of using it for like your typical stuff.
Yeah, same. And I use it for everything you just said, and creating the images is amazing. I have something that happened recently. I had an issue with my website, right? And for some whatever reason, the CAPTCHA wasn't showing up, you know? So what ended up happening is I get, you know, they go to the page, get all these, long story short, I get all these Russian bots, like thousands of fucking Russian bots. And I'm like, in God there. Damn it, I don't want to go through all of these. So I'm like, let me try something. So I go on the back end of the website, I downloaded, I export it as a CSV, put it into as an Excel file. Then I take the Excel file and I'm like, let me see if fucking, because I pay for the nice ChatGPT, the $20 a month or whatever. It's worth it. Worth it, people, buy it. And then I took the file, which had thousands of lines. There were real leads in there, but there's also a lot of fucking Russian bots. I'm like, I am not trying to filter through all this. I said, I told ChatGPT, you know, can take out all Russian bots, anything that looks Russian. They do that. They got kind of close to it. Still two or three more times. I changed the syntax and it fucking boom. It did hours. It would have took me hours, you know, to get through this. And then I was able to just go through easily, find out the spam and find out, oh, here's a real lead. Here's a real lead. I just highlighted them all, filtered it. And then I was like, okay, now I'll call these people. But
it's great. Like the technology is just continuing to grow. And so for me, it was always like, I need to learn this, because I think that I kind of fall in the thought that I don't think ChatGPT is going to be taking over a lot of people's jobs. I think the people that use it are going to improve their ability.
Right now, it's a tool. It's going to take a lot of tech jobs is what it's going to take.
Yeah.
It's going to take, like, I remember we're about the same age, right? I'm 37. I graduated 05. What, you were 07?
Yeah, I'm 35.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we were coming out of high school, they said, oh, you know, go for coding, you know, go for web development, you know, computer science. And those were guaranteed, like, you're going to make six figures plus, you know. But now, even I just seen a study recently, these guys who are going like Berkeley for computer science, they're not getting the jobs, because why are we going to hire 1,000 people when we can hire 50 to just maintain, you know, the AI system that we have?
100%.
And they don't get tired.
They just work. They work. Oh, listen, I agree. I mean, I think we're just scratching the surface. I think, like, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts where they talk about like how people are using it and you know, different use cases. So I'm excited to get my, you know, my hands dirty with the platform and come up with some cool things. And the technology is going to continue to get better over time. I am really interested in like automations with AI and kind of working on almost like the chat AI element to the business. So we're applying some of that right now. But I do believe still that there is a human element, especially in this business, that is required to
thank you. Yes, I agree. Sometimes I message fellow artists and I get the fucking, the, you know, the automatic reply. And I know, and I'm not putting them at fault, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you want to do it, you want to do it. But I think, you know, sometimes I don't respond for a couple of days and maybe it would help me. But I like what you said, I want the human element, because I think people instantly know that it's a bot. But sometimes they can be helpful if you just put all the information. You're like, hey, just text me. It's faster. Some shit like that.
Yeah, we started doing in DMs. I literally last week just implemented this new tech that's pretty cool. Like it's keyword prompt based. So like if someone puts in specific keywords, then it will drive them like down a funnel basically. So it'll ask them what service they're looking for. It will give them information about it, and then it will drive them to like either have a conversation with us or go to the website and fill out a form. And like, that's how I kind of look at DMs right now, is like, yes, I'd love to have a conversation with someone, but I really want to move them off like that platform to a place where like I can really book them, get them like booked in. And that's distributing that to our admin and sales team. So that's what I'm trying to work on now. We're still working out the kinks of like, where, when we want to send them to conversation versus when we want to send them to landing page, because we don't want them to bounce off, but we also don't want to be in a situation where they're like, what is this? And then we respond and we never see them again.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather work them through a process where I capture their information. And then you know, they might not be a client right now if they're just fact finding, but at the very least, I've captured their information to be able to, you know, nurture that lead over time, as opposed to, I mean, we have so many DMs now that just respond and then ghost, and then we never hear from them again. And
it's
so
annoying.
Yeah, it's tough. And
price and checking.
Like, yeah, price question mark. The biggest DM we get by far.
I say the same thing every time. I copy and paste the whole fucking, you know, yeah. I have a whole spiel.
When it comes to scalp micropigmentation, you need tools you can trust. That's where InkU SMP products come in. Jade needles are designed for precision and durability, giving you consistent, flawless results every time. Pair them with InkU Pigment, a rich, long-lasting formula your clients will love. Keep things smooth with InkU Butter, perfect for soothing and protecting the skin. And finish strong with Antimicrobial Foam Cleanser for a clean, worry-free healing process. Ready to take your SMP game to the next level? Visit InkUCare.com today. InkU SMP products are made for artists by artists.
So Keith, is it, yes. So I loved your presentation at Meeting in the Minds. I loved the map that you guys made, the diagram with the breakdown and show. That was fucking, I was like, I took pictures on my phone. I was like, this is, cause I was like, that's a pain in the ass, but that's exactly how it works. I don't know if you built that or how that came, but I know it was really well done. I wanted to ask you this. Is it you that does all the marketing, or do you have people who do the SEO right now? And also, do you run the Scout Micro USA Instagram account, or is that Matt, or who? How's that work?
Yeah, so I do everything, but we have freelancers and different companies that support us. So we have an SEO team that does all of our website and website development. That needed to come off my plate because that in its own right is like it's
a full-time job.
It's a different beast. And to be honest, like without getting too much into it, it's like the SEO company I work with does a really great job and they're 95% backlinks. And yeah. Backlinks are so hard. And so it's, you know, there's best practices and there's things that you can do. But we got to a certain point where we needed that. So I basically have like a freelance model underneath like the marketing team. So we have an SEO team that we work with that is great. We have two videographers and editors that allow us to churn content really quickly. And then,
they're not in-house? Yeah. You have to... They're not in-house, the videographers?
No, they're like 1099 freelance.
Okay. So you send them all everything?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Look, and keep in mind, I've worked with these guys and girls for like years. So okay. they are partners. They are an extension of the company, but they know this business as if someone was like an employee for 6 years with us, okay. Which is really great. And so we have different editors. I also have people that build our email templates for us as well. And the rest is me. So I manage the Instagram, TikTok, YouTube for the company. I do all the paid ads, and we also, you know, do a lot of content creation. So all the content that you'll see on social media is me, but it's a collaboration. I mean, we, you know, Matt and I work really closely together, and I work really closely with a lot of the guys on the team and the artists to really come up with different concepts for content. And also they help me because they'll shoot a lot of content on their own and then they'll just send it to me for editing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah. Okay. That's genius. Actually, it saves everybody time. You get them out there, you get it well, you know, well put together. We could take this out if you want, but my next question is, because I don't know if you thought about this. I don't know if you know what I'm going to say, because you guys have such a stronghold on the market and you know, you're very knowledgeable with marketing. You have the experience. Why don't you offer marketing services to SMP or PMU artists?
What a segue. In fact, next year, we will be.
Oh, shit. Yeah. This is people. Yeah. I did not know this. I'm just thinking it's on my list of questions. And I'm like, there's fucking beast at it. Why don't they just offer it?
Yeah, I'm it's been something that I've been wanting to do for a while, but I feel like we're in a really good place and there's just such a need for it. And honestly, this year going to all the conference, we do like a conference track, and I've just had so many conversations with people in PMU and SMP, and they need help and they're good artists and they really could take their business to the next level, but it's very hard finding the right people. And, you know, I know so much because I've been in the industry and I kind of have like the avenues to take and what not to take. And
so many scams. There's so many fucking scams, dude.
It's hard to find companies, but it's not like there's obviously scams, but then there's marketing companies that do a good job, but they don't know the industry. So like, you know, you might be getting conversions, but you're converting on keywords that aren't necessarily relevant to what the service is that you provide. And so there's little things like that that I was seeing and that I was like, you know what, it's time for me to expand out. So Q1 of next year, we're going to be kicking that off. I'm very excited. And we're going to be doing it in PMU and S&P.
Fuck yeah. That is so awesome. I'm going to keep that in mind. And you're going to, I guess you'll, in the future, you'll release the pricing or, you know, the different packages and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. We'll have like a website that maps out everything. You know, it'll be everything from, you know, hands-on if you want, you know, website and landing pages, or if you're just looking for a boost with paid ads. That's going to be the general focus. I'm not really going to touch on too much like content creation, but the cool thing is that I plan on creating a school, like the S-K-O-O-L.
Okay.
And just doing like some free...
Shout out to Alex Hormozy.
Yeah, if you're listening. That guy's funny, man. He's an interesting cat, but he's great. I mean, listen, you can't knock.
He's a genius.
Yeah, he's great.
I read all his books. He's same, really good. Same. I was wondering how he feels about buying school, but we'll talk about that later.
I think it'll be a good investment, but I'm excited to give some freebies away, and then you know anyone that kind of is ready to go, you know, and inject marketing into their business and wants to do that. You know, I still think that there's area of opportunities outside of where we are. And then also, you know, we're within our S&P world, which is great. But the permanent makeup industry is a huge category. And I know a lot of people in permanent makeup. We've trained a lot of people in PMU. We go to a lot of PMU conferences. So I'm excited to tap into that world as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. And there's so many. I mean, Matt goes, I feel like he goes to a PMU conference every other week. Like, how many fucking conferences are there?
It's crazy. You know, I think you had commented or said something about, like, because they do the new big thing is Wallop, which is like this competition.
Yeah.
And they
have
it all over the world. And it feels like there's a conference happening every single week.
It really does. And I was confused. I was like, what the fuck is going, what is happening? And I was
what is this?
Good shout for them though.
Shout out to Muhammad at Hanafi for getting us hooked up, not only our pigment but in Wallop, and we have some really exciting stuff we're going to be doing with them next year with that conference and with PMU, and we're really excited about that partnership. It's good when it's fun when, and I think that this is a statement for all businesses, but that we run at least, but it really is fun when you work with people that you get along with and that you like. And I think that that's been a huge factor in Matt and I's success, because the truth of it is Matt and I could have launched a Scout Micro USA in every single location. We could have franchised it. You know, we could have 20 locations by now. But we were big on relationships and quality. And we always felt that we never wanted to reduce the quality of work, because that was our biggest selling point. I always said, I want Scout Micro USA to be synonymous with great work, no matter what location you go to. And that was a standard that we always kept. And we didn't waver, even if there was money left on the table. And it is nice that we've worked with a lot of previous clients that turn into artists, because they've become, you know, friends. And you know, we get along, and working doesn't seem, you know, like a task. Obviously there's, you know, harder days, harder months, and everyone has to work through it. But at the end of the day, we are, you know, a tight knit kind of family. And so that's been really great. And then on the ink side with Follicule, you know, Matt had a really good relationship with the Hanafi team, but we all got together recently And it was just like one big, you know, meshed family. Everyone got along great. And so it's always good when you can do business, but also have fun at the same time.
I agree. And because I'm not going to call anybody out, but I see a lot of SMP, PMU businesses, and it looks like the partnership didn't go very well, right? And they split up, and that's unfortunate. And it's also good when people are, I think of you two as professionals and your team as professionals, you know, because there's a lot of people going to business and they're kind of still immature. They act like little kids, or they're not reliable, which is a big thing. They're not responsible, and they'll just do stupid shit that could, you know, fuck your brand up, basically.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Mess your head up. Yeah.
So for the people listening, if you were, you're Keith, you start Keith's SMP. Let's say you're like, oh, fuck it. I want to be an SMP artist now. Okay. Yeah. I've been around it. I want to do it. You got an extra 300 to 500. You're a new artist. You've been doing it for a year. How would you spend the 300 to 500 advertising per month?
Well, I would ask some questions before we get into the advertising side of the business. So the first question would be, do you have and I always ask this question in training, raise your hand if you have a functioning website that you'd be willing to put on the big screen right now. If your hand's not raised, that's where you go to first. And the good thing is that you can build a website very cheaply right now. I mean, all you got to do is use a template on Wix or Squarespace, and you could build a website for free. It's just your time. So that would be the first thing. I want to make sure that you have a great functioning website, clear call to action, or, you know, a landing page that, you know, will drive someone to complete that action, which in our world is, you know, usually to submit the form. After that, I would certainly recommend that someone sets up a Google My Business account. If you think about search, right? People spend all this time of like, I want to show up first for advertising purposes, which makes sense. And I want to show up first for SEO. But what's often missed is the fact that that map pack, which is like, you know, if you've ever like searched for anything like pizza near me, right? Then you have like your five lists of businesses. There are so many searches locally that you should be ranking for. And not only is it free, but it automatically brings you to the top of the page.
Yep. Yep.
So if it's called like the trifecta is what like we've implemented. So it's like we're top, you know, five, top three in organic search. We always try to be top of page if we have the budget for advertising, and we want to be top three in Google My Business. And what that does is if you think of like real estate, we're just basically controlling the whole block.
Yeah.
Like you are now, someone has the intent to search for Scalp Micropigmentation in New York. They're seeing our business, they're seeing our ad, and they're seeing our organic website. So that would be the first three things I would do. The next thing I would do is like an audit of your social media. Do you have an Instagram? Do you have a TikTok? You know, YouTube's a little bit more challenging, but YouTube Shorts is certainly something you could do because it's all the same platform, all the same format now. And are you active? Are you putting in the time and the energy to create content, right? It can be content around you practicing if you don't have clients in your chair, or it can be real, you know, before and afters, transformations, educational content of you talking about it. If you haven't filled up those yet, that's where I would start. And then if you say, okay, I have a great website, I have a good landing page, I'm active on Google My Business, and I'm creating really good content in social media, then it's like, okay, where can we pour lighter fluid onto the business to take you to that next step? And typically, it depends on your budget on where we would go.
We're going to say 300 to 500 per month.
$300 to $500 is not a lot.
I know. This is an artist just starting. That's still their side hustle.
Yes. This is, you really have two buckets in advertising. You have search with Google, so Google Ads, and then you have Meta. Those are like the two big ones.
Agreed.
Right? So with Google, you have to be honest with yourself about the cost that it takes to acquire a lead and a customer. So I'll give you an example. On Google, searching for terms like scalp micropigmentation is not cheap. And you also don't want to bid for the lowest impression, because then you're going to be ninth on a list of nine in ads. And do you really want to be the ad that's on like the third page, right? How valuable, how qualified is that?
Wasted money.
So if you want to be top of page for these keywords, it might cost you $50 to $70 to acquire a lead. So let's just say, for example, it costs you $50 to acquire a lead. And let's say to acquire a customer, a paying customer, it's one out of every 10 leads turns into a paying customer, right? Your customer acquisition cost is $500. So if your budget is $300, you just lost money.
Yeah.
So you really have to identify what's a realistic budget for your business. If it truly is $300, I would say you could potentially look into Facebook or Instagram ads, but I would probably allocate that $300 to something else like creating content. That's where I would go with it. I typically like to have like a threshold for what we would be willing to spend on ads. Mm-hmm. And just knowing the landscape of this industry, it's very hard to spend $300 a month on Google ads.
Oh, dude, I was getting raped. I didn't even know. Like when I first started, I was like, why? Oh, another $1,000 just got taken out of my account. Oh, up there it is again. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, it's so expensive. It's so funny because, you know, we talk about like, I've been in the industry for 9 years. When I first started, oh my God. I mean, our acquisition cost was like $20 on Google Ads.
That's
great. It was nothing. It was crazy. You can get those sort of results on Meta, on Facebook and Instagram, but keep in mind the quality is very different from platform to platform. So if you want to advertise on Google, well, guess what? Those are like really high intent people. They're searching for something that they're looking for, a problem that you solve. They're searching for it right now. And also don't forget like the local element of it. Mm-hmm. So if they type in scalp micropigmentation near me, well, guess what? You're showing up, or New York or whatever it is. So it's a really high quality, high intent customer that you're looking to attract. However, it's also typically the most expensive customer to acquire. Oh, yeah. Whereas Meta, Facebook and Instagram ads, it's more like educational, thumb stopping type content. And so it's great. You will get people that didn't even know that this treatment existed. And this looks so cool. But what are you also going to get? When does my hair grow back?
Yeah. Okay. Like, you just get a lot of people wasting your time.
Get a lot of people think it's a transplant. Yeah. Get a lot of waste, a lot of churn. So to answer your question, 300 to 500, I would sit that company down and see, do they have budget for more? If not, I would probably take $300 and spend like a day creating content with a cheap videographer.
Okay. So what do you think is more valuable? Do you think you're going to get higher quality leads from Google paid searches, or from boosting a post, or going on the business suite and doing a brand awareness campaign or something?
Yeah, definitely the best, in my opinion, the best platform for advertising with high intent is definitely going to be Google Ads.
Yeah, agreed.
So if you have the budget and you can waiver the cost, then it is a great place to start. And as long as you do it right and you set up the campaigns correctly and you're targeting the right keywords and the right audience, then you can be in a situation where you're getting really quality leads to the business within the geography that you're advertising for. So I would always, if you have the budget, to start with search. It's also a great platform for services because it's really like problem solution. So e-commerce is completely different. Like our strategy that we do for Follicule, it's night and day for what we do for Scalp, because they are just completely different businesses. So on the Follicule side, I run a lot more social media ads for our aftercare products and versus with Scalp. I mean, with Scalp, we do everything, but Google Ads is certainly way more of a focus for our service-based businesses.
That makes sense. And then the people on social media you know, they want the aftercare products because they might not search for, but if they see it, they're like, oh, I'll get that.
Yeah.
Because it's more just text based, you know, with the Google, and people are,
yeah,
get on there. They're on a mission.
Yep. And, you know, Instagram and Facebook is great for visuals.
Yeah.
I always feel like the best strategy is a combination if you can afford it, yeah, because you hit the best of both worlds. You're hitting your high intent search traffic, people that are looking for this service, scalp micropigmentation, hair tattoo, like all the keywords that you want to rank for. And you're getting those really quality leads. And on the flip side with Meta and Facebook and Instagram, you're able to visually explain what you do, what your offering is to a really great algorithm if you do it correctly. So I like both. I think that I would certainly start with Google Ads and then I would build in Meta as a secondary.
Agreed. And thanks for saying that, Keith. I also have a little, because I think you guys might be able to afford it, maybe you're already doing it. I've been trying to get on one of the biggest websites in the world that nobody talks about. You want to take a wild guess what it is? Nobody talks about it.
Website that no one
talks about? But a lot of people use it. A lot.
YouTube?
Close. Pornhub. I want to advertise on Pornhub, but it's fucking hard. I've been trying to get on there, and I don't know if it's the cost or like the YouTube's not, like, because you know you could do different campaigns with Google, you know.
This is gonna take a wild turn, but we looked into this,
okay,
years ago, like I would say 3 or 4 years ago. We were like, this has to happen. We came up with some like interesting campaign ideas. I think it just fell beneath the wayside. We ended up doing radio instead.
Okay.
So we got laid up with like an awesome opportunity where Boomer and Carton, which is a big or Boomer and Geo, my apologies, on the radio, they have a big sports segment in New York. And one of the guys that we did works for them. And they talked about it on air for one segment for like 15 minutes.
Wow.
And so I called them and I was like, this is incredible. Like, we would love to do something with you guys. So they got Matt on, and Matt like talked about it, and it was free. Like, there was no obligation to it. And it went really well. And he did a great job on the interview and the segment. And they were just like, they were so funny and they were talking about it. And so we did a big campaign with them for radio, and it worked. It did really well. I mean, talk about like brand awareness. That was a big one for us. Just attracting people that are like, what is this? How do I find this? I didn't even know this existed. So that was cool. I think that overtook Pornhub, but in the end, it was the right move.
Well, I'm trying to, because if you guys do it, it's just going to help me. You know, if somebody gets behind there, I think it'll just
help. If you're putting your face on the ad, though, we're going to have problems.
I don't want to be. I thought about that. It's like most people are going on there. They're going to do what they want to do. But I'm thinking afterwards, you know, if it pops up, you know, it might entice them, you know, to make a decision. But if it keeps showing up, they'll be like, okay, I'm going to look into this shit.
It's a wild thing because, you know, we compete against Hims a lot for, you know, just like men's care.
Yeah.
And they do that. And I was like, oh my God, if they're doing it, let's do it. And then we looked into it and it was so funny. It was just like that. I remember those meetings that Matt and I would have where we're like, all right, let's do the porn meeting. Like, let's get into it. Let's see what we can do here. But it ended up not being something we pushed. But is through.
I mean, the amount of traffic on there, yeah. It's just like that's what I'm drawn to. Okay, good shit.
Untapped. That's an untapped market for you.
It really is. It really is, people. And I thought, you know, you're making me want to go because I've thought about getting on the radio and doing it. And I got a free ad on during COVID. Philadelphia radio station.
Cool.
I did one for me. But, you know, they've pitched it to me. I had a guy come in here and I just didn't do it, but I should do it. Especially sports radio. I don't know if you're Philadelphia sports radio. They are diehard Eagles fans around here. Like they,
yeah.
It's, you know, very serious.
it's expensive.
It is.
And it's really brand awareness. And it's one of those things where it's like, I like doing it when we had really good months. Like when we had a really good months and I was like, okay, we have the budget for it. Like, let's do it. But then, you know, we did that campaign. It did really well. And then we did it again and it was not as successful. So
It's like you got to shock them with it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I wanted to bring this up too, Keith. So I talked to Matt about it. I don't know if there's been any revelations. We just had a meeting of the minds. What's up with the next scalp show?
The scalp show. Listen, the scalp show was great. I loved the scalp show. Don't get me wrong. We had so much fun. You know, keep in mind, the scalp show was 2 weeks after my son was born.
Wow.
So I had not gotten sleep for a month. He was late. He was 2 weeks late. So I thought I was going to get a month to like just settle in. It was, I think, less than 2 weeks. So I wasn't even on this planet when I went to the scalp show.
You did a good job, by the way. That's where I first saw you and met you briefly. Yeah. And you guys did. But it looks very stressful. I'm not going to lie. It looks very stressful.
Listen, it's a lot of work. I love that people really liked it because at the end of the day, and Matt put a lot of work into the show. We all did. The whole team did. We wanted to really take it to another level. We wanted to professionalize it. We wanted to give like really good educational value. Like we did the workshops, which now a lot of like PMU conferences are doing that. So it wasn't anything that we created, but we brought the workshops to this conference because ultimately it is great to get presentations. And, you know, I spoke about marketing there and I hope people found it valuable, but people want the blend of like actually work, learning new techniques and networking and having fun.
Yeah.
And you know, uplifting presentations about how people got to where they got to. It's a combination of all of it. And so I feel like we executed really well on what we were looking to accomplish. And everyone we talked to had a great time. It was a lot of fun. Like Vegas, it's hard to throw a conference in Vegas and not have fun.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Agree.
It's set up for a lot of good times. And so it's not a no, but obviously we've had to take some time, you know, just to focus on, you know, the business as opposed to, you know, running the event because it really, I mean, it took us, it's like a 6 to 8 month buildup.
Fuck yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of time, a lot of work, but Matt is very eager. I will leave you with this. Matt is very eager to do something.
Great.
So
great.
I think it's not to leave the audience hanging, but.
No, that's great. I'd like to give my two cents though real quick, if that's cool. So just going to the meeting of minds, and I've been to a couple SMP. I went to that SMP conference. I went to the other one and going to that stuff. I think one of the things is having speakers is great, but like you were saying, the networking and the training is also, I think that definitely needs to be on. But I also feel like team building exercises, meeting all the people, some type of team building would also be good. Because a lot of people, they go and they want to do the training, but they also want to meet people. Hey, I've been talking to this person on Instagram for 4 years, 3 years. Yeah. You know, they kind of want to, some type of, I think, team building exercises or drills or even games, I think would be a lot of fun as well.
I love like roundtable.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really cool. And I like that. And, you know, whenever I would go to marketing conferences, you know, you're networking with people, you're meeting, you know, different people. It's a huge part of, you know, why you go to these things and you learn a lot. I mean, we learned a lot when we went there and we got to meet a lot of great people and got some, you know, good advice on where to take things. So I think it's really valuable. I think it's something that could be on the table. I've held Matt back enough because every time it gets brought up, he just looks at me and I was like, find someone else.
Yeah, because it's going to be a lot of work, right? It's going to be a lot of work.
But he loves it. I think he has like a real passion for running events and parties. Maybe if he didn't get into Scout, that would have been his calling.
Well, he gets the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to, Keith, how can people find you? Where can they email? Do you care if someone has a marketing question or listen to this? Do you care if they message you, ask you about it?
No, that's great. If you have a marketing question, best to hit me up on Instagram. It's at corporate.keith. That's KEITH. Just shoot me a message and be happy to chat. And like I said, next year I'm going to be launching the school, which will have some really great, just high level marketing tips and tricks on there. And then for anyone that's looking to, you know, up their game and take things to the next level, we're going to be implementing a marketing track for those looking to take advantage of it. So,
which excited. I think is amazing. And I swear, people, that was not a setup. You know,
it wasn't.
It's on my list of questions. And I was like, dude, he knows so much. So I really think you should take advantage of that because there's so many scams out there. I don't even know what his package deals are, but I bet you it's going to be worth the money. It's going to be worth it. Thank you, Keith. Stay on. Daddy.